Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Let me turn to my guest, who was here with me this morning, back for his regular visit with us, Superintendent Kirk Carpenter from Aztec Schools. Good morning.
Good morning, Scott.
Thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
Happy New Year. We were going to say at the same time, right? So there you go. But it's great to see you and have you here and talking a little bit about what's going on with Aztec Schools. And I know later on today, the state legislature will begin meeting in Santa Fe, and you've got to be watching that with interest.
Yeah, it's that time of year. And, you know, I think to open up, we always want to thank our local legislators. They always do a great job, and we appreciate what they do. It's not a an easy job. I've said it many times. I know my dad served as a legislator, and sometimes a thankless job. In 30-day sessions are they're difficult. There's a lot of bills that get put in there, but really, when you talk about 30-day sessions, you really the only thing that really can get done is talking about budgets. And you know, the state right now I think has an all-time high revenue. And people would think, well, that's easy, but it's not, because when you have revenue, people are asking for a lot of money. You know, this year as educators, we're not really going in and saying, give us. What we're trying to do is just ask them to be responsible, really, about revenue. Even as we look at education, as we look at reserves, as we go forward, we continue, I think, our drum as far as education goes is make sure we have local control. As we look at, you know, pre-K and some of those things as we go forward in our state, is try to just be responsible. And because if you spend now and don't have later, I think that's something that's going to haunt us. And so there's a lot of things I think are going to happen in the next 30 days, and it's going to be a difficult job that all of our legislators have. And as we always try to work with them, not only ours from here in our county, but throughout the state and those on key committees. It's an easier thing said than done for them with the job they have, because, you know, I think what's important to remember is we always talk about the things in education, but they have so many things to worry about other than just education. Education takes up most of the budget. It really does. We know that. But rightfully so, I think, when we think about what education does in our state and what the outcome of that should be. But it's a difficult job, and most of those people that are up there in the legislature are not educators per se. I mean, they come from many different business backgrounds and that type of thing. So our job is hopefully to educate them on the needs of education and make sure that we express to them the things we're doing with the money and the funds, that we are being accountable. So the next 30 days are going to be fast, furious, and there's going to be a lot of battles over the funding and where it should go.
Right. But there's a lot of money out there, as you mentioned, right? Revenues are up again.
Absolutely.
This year.
They are.
Second year in a row, and the governor's budget seems to want to try to get maybe budgets back to where they were before some of the cuts, and maybe back to the Great Recession levels or pre-Great Recession levels of maybe 2008 or so. Is that kind of the benchmark we're looking at?
I think so. And at the same time, I think she has a want to try to look at pre-K, look at some of those things. And so it's balancing all that, because if you're going to do some of those things and grow programs, you're going to have to take away from other. And so, again, I think that's the big battle. When you look at the budgets that go in, you always see the governor's budget. You see the public education budget. You see the Legislative Finance Committee budget. And none of them always – they don't align. And with that, that's what happens is you have to somehow get – a budget at the end of this session. And sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes they have to come back, and you never want that, because that is very expensive for taxpayers, because you have to pay for a special session. And so I think that's what's going to happen. It's often terms they say it's kind of like making sausage. You never want to see how it's made. You just want to see the final product. And that's what's going to happen over the next 30 days is you're going to see budgets compromised and come to terms on different things because the public education department has a specific budget that they want that they feel like is very important for the kids in New Mexico because that's really what it's about. Whether it's given raises for staff, which are very important because for a long time they haven't had them until last year. And that is important for kids because we need quality educators, whether it's teachers or the staff that you put into schools to help take care of schools or administrators. That's all very important. And it really does come down to serving our kids. And so the Public Education Department has their thoughts. Well, the Legislative Finance Committee has their thoughts. The governor obviously has her thoughts. And they don't always align on where to put that money. And so it's going to be, like I said, it's always very fascinating. Some of it, honestly, Scott, for me, is when we go to Santa Fe during this time, it is not the most fascinating part of my position, or is it the funnest? Because there is a lot of politics that gets played, and I've said it many times, politics has no place in education, and I hate to see some of the stuff that has to take place, but again, I don't live in that part of it. I don't want to live in that part of it. I will never live in that part of it. I would not be a good politician because I won't play that game. And so that's the part that you hope gets left out of it. And we know there's some things that are going to be brought up this session again that for me I'm disgruntled about already, and that's cash balances that school districts have. That's something that's already being brought up, and that's something that gets my emotions up and my dander up because there's many different reasons for cash balances in school districts, and that's already something I know that superintendents are already having to talk about, and in my opinion, shouldn't have to talk about.
Help us understand why that upsets you so much, and that's basically the savings account for school districts, and so are they making you have a lower cash balance, or they're not allowing you to save more money, or what's the issue?
Well, you know, several years ago, they came and they took cash balances away, some of them.
When there wasn't a surplus, this was right. A totally different budget time, I understand.
Basically, what they did is they balanced some of the state budget off the back of students because they took cash balances away, a certain amount away from school districts. In Aztec, they took over $500,000 away because we had a surplus. There's a reason
for that.
And that
you had been saving over several years. It wasn't just 1 year worth of surplus, right?
Right.
This was over a period of time.
And part of the reason why school districts have surpluses, it may be because they don't fill positions, and it's not intentional. It's because there was a shortage of teachers. But in many respects, you see times coming where things are going to be tough. It may be drops of enrollment. So with drops of enrollment means less money coming to a district, which means you're not going to be able to make ends meet. So you have to save. In a private family, if you were doing that, saving for tough times, because you may not be able to make your ends meet the next year, you would be commended. But yet in public education, you're condemned. It doesn't make sense. And so we explained that several years ago to them as to why we had higher cash balances in some districts than others. And so our reward was to have them come in and claw back that money. And not all of it is money that comes from the public education department. Much of that money is money that comes from local earnings. And so you save that money for tough times, which we did in Aztec to get us through the tough times, so that we didn't have to cut even more teachers or cut more staff, have higher class sizes, take even more money away from schools, which we had to and continue to. Even during the time of the highest revenues, such as last year, when they gave 6% increases, our payroll costs went from 86% of our overall budget to 92%. Cash balance helps cover that. So when they thought they covered all the increase, they didn't. So in a responsible district where you're trying to be accountable to taxpayers to cover those increases, it's cash balance that does that. And we have explained that more than once very clearly. And here again this year, they want to talk about cash balances and wonder why all this money is out there in cash balance savings to districts. Why do they need more money? It's for programs. It's to run an after-school program at the tune of $100,000. It's not covered. They want to talk about extending the school year for programs like K-5 Plus. We did that last year. It cost us money to do that. We didn't get fully funded from the state to do that. So we want to provide opportunities for kids they're not fully funded. So we do try to save money in cash balance to fund things for students and for staff. And we continually have to explain these things. And it's to the same people. And so emotionally, I do get charged up about this because we write the same letters to the same people about the same things, explaining why we're being responsible, why we're being accountable. And honestly, Scott, I don't get it. It's not like we are hoarding money or we're hoarding this money and giving it out to people. We're taking care of our funds because of the times we're in, because of the enrollment is dropping, so that we can take care of our students in our district with programs like After School. It's not a babysitting agency. It's an agency where we're having kids come in to the tune of about 150 kids that we can provide extra learning, enrichment, and a place for those kids to be. And we're doing that with cash balance. And I could give you a long list of things we're doing with cash balance, because that's the only way we're going to have those programs in our district. And we will, again, write a letter clearly explaining that to them again. But because this comes up again, there's, like I said, over $500,000 that we never got back. But they used that money to balance their budget. And the taxpayers need to know that. That is not right. And that should never, ever happen again, because we're responsible and accountable. That's how they're going to balance a budget. And now they're bringing up this cash balance issue again. Absolutely is absurd and should never happen.
And they're not talking about sending you a refund check for that $500,000 that was taken a couple of years ago. That's something completely different. And you talk about local control, and it sounds like this is a great example of what you're talking about, because some districts perhaps are growing in enrollment, and they're getting more funding every year because of those increasing numbers, and so they may not be as reliant on their cash balance to fund some of these programs that you're talking about. But in districts maybe like Aztec that has seen enrollment declines and maybe lower enrollment but stable enrollment, this is kind of what you're talking about.
Right. And those districts should get more funding. Absolutely should. And, you know, in our district, we have to supplement things like federal programs. We don't get a lot of money in federal programs, and rightfully so, because of the way our demographics work. So we supplement that with cash balance. Transportation. We've received more funding, like everybody in the state, in transportation, but we have to supplement that. That comes out of operations. Well, operations only covers so much. Everybody is funded differently. Impact aid, we don't get impact aid. That's a big funding source for a lot of districts. So there are a lot of things that we have to supplement, because we're kind of in that perfect storm of being a small, middle-sized district. So there are a lot of things that we do not have, and we have cut. I mean, we've continually cut things. And so when we have to supplement, it comes out of operations. If we run short, you have to dip into savings. We have to be responsible. That savings has to be cash balance. So in order to provide a quality education for our students, we have to have ways to do that. And again, trying to be responsible and accountable, it comes down to cash balance. And so when they start talking about why is there this funding out there, I guess it's that whole thing of why do we have to keep explaining ourselves? And we'll do it. And we will make it very clear again. But like I said, if they come back and try to start taking these funds away, at what point do we have our citizens start marching down there? Because it's getting old. And like I said, I appreciate what they do. I understand the accountability piece, but I don't know how much more accountable, how much more transparent we can be, or how much more clear we can be on what we're doing with these funds. They are going directly to kids and their programs, and that's what they're used for. And we cannot use them for anything else, and we wouldn't. But we understand, like today it's raining. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of days that it's raining in education too, and if we don't have these funds, it's going to be pouring. And there's going to be a lot of things cut, and it's going to be detrimental to students. So let us be accountable and responsible and leave cash balances alone.
Very good. My guest this morning, Superintendent Kirk Carpenter, is here. And so it's not all doom and gloom, though, but part of the budget is talking about more raises for your employees. And that has got to be a positive, as you mentioned, to attract have competitive salaries to attract teachers and keep teachers, too, I think. So they're not bouncing around to maybe other districts or other states.
Absolutely. And that is very much a positive. And, The biggest thing we're doing, and one of the things we have done is a study, because the Public Education Department has put together a plan to say we want this much in our budget for increases. And they've done a study with districts to say how much this is what we figure in Aztec it'll cost. And we've sent back figures and said your figure is this much short, because one of the things that happened, like I mentioned earlier, in their figures last year, our costs for raises was short. And so we're trying to say this is the figure it would cost. And I commend the Public Education Department for that, because in their budget, they're asking for, I think, about a 4% increase. One of the things that has to take place is you figure the salary increase, you also have to figure benefits. And so all the districts have been asked to figure what would it cost for a 4% increase. And they just did calculations on teachers only, not that everybody wouldn't get an increase, just so they could get a calculation on what would it cost with benefits and everything, because we want to make sure you cover all costs. Because if you just figure salaries, not benefits, then again, that's where we go back to that cash balance conversation. You've got to cover it somewhere. And so it is a positive, and it's necessary, because there were so many years in education that we were not given raises, and you need to be able to compete. You need to compete with your neighbors. In Texas, you can't compete. They're way up there. But with Arizona and some of these other places, Utah, we need to compete. Colorado, and we need to get quality people in here. Education is a profession. We need to pay people professionally at professional wages and make sure we're getting the quality people attracted to this profession. There's not a better profession. I'll argue with anybody about that. There's not a more noble profession. And this is where we're creating careers in education. So we need to make sure we're paying our people properly.
Very good. And so it seems to me that maybe both budget proposals so far seem to have a pay increase in them. And so that I don't want to predict anything, because goodness knows anything can happen in the next 30 days in Santa Fe. But it seems to me that everyone seems to agree that raises are warranted for your folks. Yeah. And all teachers and staff.
Yes, I would be very surprised if there weren't raises coming out in this session. And I would think with the revenue projections this year, and I think I would expect in the years to come that there should be something, there for the longest time in our state, the raises were there. And I would think that'd be the same case. But like you said, you can't predict anything. But I would be definitely surprised if there wasn't a 3% to 4% increase for staff, all staff coming out of this session. And I think that's the intent of all the legislators and everybody and all the budgets that have had their budgets show increases, and rightfully so. It's just a matter of what number do you get to. And like I said, right now it's the beginning, and it's the whole process of putting a budget to work, and they'll look completely different if you take a picture of what they look like now compared to what they look like at the end.
That's true. Very true. Let me ask you a little bit about some other topics too this morning, Mr. Carpenter. One is some training going on throughout the county involving, I think you mentioned to me, all school districts and San Juan College, right? A threat assessment training for folks?
Yeah, the countywide, one of the things we've done a great job of is safety training. Whether it's the signs of suicide training, threat assessment, actual, first responder training. But threat assessment is another one that we're putting together so that we have common training for different kinds of threat. How do you assess it? At what level? And we're putting together a countywide threat assessment for all the school districts. Fundart Vicente and Glennis Mays, they have got together. They have training. We're putting it together for all the districts, all the school districts, San Juan College included, so that everybody's trained with the same type of training, which is important because of consistency. We have a lot of mobility with a lot of students, a lot of staff, and so they're putting together a training. Again, a lot of this training has come from the Sandy Hook Foundation, where we've had trainers come in and we've received training, and we just continue to work together as school districts for the benefit and the safety of all of our students. And so we're looking at some of that training later in February for all of our administrators, all of our counselors and other personnel that are key to that type of training. Again, just an effort countywide to continue to do all we can to keep our campuses safe. To keep everybody safe and everybody on the same page. I think the more we unify those things, the more important it is, because safety at one school is just as important at any other school and for every single student and staff member in this county. And you know, what's happening in this county, I think, is something that others are paying attention to across the state and in other places. When we go and we do presentations at national conferences and we talk about what's happening up here, people pay attention. And so all the districts up here and all the other superintendents and their staff and the people responsible for safety, San Juan College included, are to be commended. There's a lot of work. I know a lot of times people wonder what's happening with safety, and they may see something that may not look right or feel right, but I just want listeners to know that what's happening up here is to be commended, and there's a lot of hard work going on by every school district, and sometimes it takes longer to get certain things done than we like, and that's not always our fault. It's a matter of red tape and some of those things, but a lot of great work going on by a lot of great people, and this is just one small example of what's happening with all the school districts working together.
And I would think by having everyone join forces, so to speak, and having sharing this with this training, that kind of keeps the cost down. If you can share that among three other school districts in San Juan College, you're not having to pay the whole fee for Aztec Schools.
Right, and the fee will be very small, be, you know, a matter of copies and running that. And, you know, San Juan College, I mean, we can't say enough about the partnership with them as far as even getting facilities to use that and have a place to train, because it's hard to get everybody in one place. And whether it's using facilities here with Farmington Schools, because they've been gracious to let us use places. And that's it. The partnership, the camaraderie, all of that has just been, it's been a big brotherhood, if you will. I don't know how else to put it. It warms your heart to see the kind of things that are happening between, like I said, the districts. I always joke about the athletics. You know, we like to beat each other up on the courts and the ball fields. But when it comes to these types of things, you mess with one, you mess with all. It's that type of mentality, and for the right reasons, because it doesn't matter where you come from, what color of uniform you have, we are in it together. And if something happens to one, it affects all of us because of the type of training we're in together, the programs. Everybody has their own protocols per se. But they're all very similar, and the trainings, we want the same, because we need to have that for our first responders. And really, when you talk about first responders, it's really the people right there at that time. And the other first responders, yes, there are police and fire, but when an incident happens, our teachers and our principals and counselors and people to school are the ones right there initially. And so them having the same training is essential. And that's what's happening in this county, and that's what we're doing. And so that's what's so heartwarming, is having that done. It's unfortunate, but we can't change that. But what we can change and control is what we do with our staff. And so this is just another, like I said, example of that. And like I said, seeing the partnerships between the districts is, it just means a lot. Safety's always been something very important to me as a superintendent, as a principal, even prior to our incident in 2017. And after, we're continuing this. It's not something that is easing up, and it never should. You know, safety's not a destination. It's a journey. And we have to continue that and continue to stay on top of it. Because if you ask anybody what they want from their schools, obviously quality education is up there. But I can guarantee it that safety is going to be number one or number two. They want their kids safe, and that's what we're doing, and we continue to do.
That's good. Good to hear. Just a couple minutes remaining this morning, Mr. Carpenter. You were telling me before we came on the air this morning that there are some considerations of adjusting the calendar, the academic calendar at Aztec Schools, and maybe that would affect maybe some of your teachers and your students, too, if you shorten days of instruction.
Yeah, we're getting ready to send the calendar out. But one of the things we're looking at with this calendar is possibly adjusting the last day, where we have, in the past, have had the last day include a half day for students, and then the other half where teachers check out. And what we're looking at adjusting is scooting that day, the last day, one day up to where students would still have a half day. But the staff would have that day, the last day, as a half day, and then have one full day after that, to where they would have time to look at the last assessment we give as a data day, and then have some planning time to look at, okay, reflect on what we're doing to get the next school year started, also look at the data from the last assessment, have a professional learning community time to look at the next intern for the next school year, just some different things that we feel like we're missing right now. And, you know, it's it, a lot of times at the end of the year, we're rush to get checked out. So we're looking at adding one less day for students per se. We have plenty of instructional time. We're not trying to shortchange students, but a lot of times what we miss in education is enough time for staff to plan and to have effective planning time at the end of the year. So we're looking at that with this calendar. We're getting ready to send it out to staff. In fact, today we'll probably get that out to staff for comments on and see what we get back. And we've shuffled parent-teacher conferences around a little bit to make those hopefully more meaningful. So some subtle changes, but we feel like will be important for staff to make that last assessment more meaningful, to look at the data so they can reflect on teaching and instructional practices, have those conversations in the, one of their last PLC times together at the end of the year so things aren't so rushed. And it'll be the same relative starting ending times for our district. We like to end before that, I guess it's Memorial Day there.
Right.
The beginning.
Right. Okay.
And so we'll see.
And this would affect this current academic year?
It'll be next academic year, the 2021.
Next year. So nothing, no changes this
no
May.
No changes this May.
Okay. But folks will get a chance to comment and kind of see what they think about it, and you'll respond accordingly.
Yeah. We'll hopefully have that to the board in February.
All right. Very good. Well, Mr. Carpenter, we are out of time. This always happens to us when we get talking about education. We could be here all morning.
Yeah, you get me going, and it's hard to get me to be quiet. So the only way to do that is to press that button over there and then kill the mic.
Well, or bring you back next month.
That's
then we'll continue our conversation.
We'll come back.
All right. Kirk Carpenter, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us. We always appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Thank you very much. That's Superintendent Kirk Carpenter from the Aztec School District, my guest here on KSJE. And I'll be back with more in just a moment, everyone. The time right now is 8:40 a.m. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.